This is Goals with Soul, the podcast for visionary coaches and entrepreneurs building your business with inspired action. In alignment with your mission and authentic message, so you can create impact for your soul clients and feel lit up every day. I'm your host, Jo Ingram, married mum of three daughters from London and a former ad agency director turned business coach and strategist. In Goals with Soul, we blend revenue generation with energetics, marketing strategies with pranic healing, and ambitious business goals with our soul's desires. If you're looking to build your business with less efforting and more ease, this is the podcast for you. Let's dive in. Welcome to Goals with Soul. I'm Joanna Ingram, and today we are diving in to the tricky topic of visibility. Now, if you are a coach, consultant, expert, healer, entrepreneur in the online space, you will, of course, come up against the challenge of visibility, of playing big, of standing out, of marketing your business, promoting your brand, and essentially getting in a position where you can welcome new clients, new revenue, new opportunities, and increased impact. Now, my guest today is someone that I've met several times in real life. She's very dear to me, someone who has personally inspired me to think about visibility in an entirely new way. Florence Andrews is a visibility coach for high-achieving female coaches who are ready to step out of hiding and into the spotlight of their personal brand. She's also a Hollywood and West End lead actress, and she's going to share a little insight into that business with us today. She's committed to helping women-led personal brands unlock their income, impact, and icon factor through the power of magnetic presence, one-of-a-kind positioning, and truly aligned and simple visibility strategies that take them from blending in to standing out in their niche. Over the last few years, Flo has gone from being almost homeless to growing a six-figure plus business and has been flown to Italy to film a role in Ridley Scott's movie alongside Al Pacino, Lady Gaga, and Adam Driver. She's been featured in The Independent, The Guardian, E! Online and more, as well as being the resident visibility coach in one of Lisa Johnson's new live programs and membership. Lisa Johnson being a multiple seven-figure business coach who I interviewed a few episodes ago. Flo and I talk all about self-sabotage, stage fright, showing off and showing up. Let's dive in. Welcome to Goals with Soul, Flo.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
And I'm super excited to have you because the whole idea of visibility is one that comes up over and over again. And to have the visibility queen, as well as, you know, the successful actress that you are. And, you know, you and I've met several times in real life. You are full of the most amazing stories, advice, inspiration. I can't wait to really dive into this and have you share that with everyone who listens into Goals with Soul. So let's kick off, first of all. Tell us a bit about yourself, because you have a less common background to the coaching industry.
Yeah, absolutely. So I suppose, unbeknownst to me, my coaching journey actually started many, many moons ago. I always wanted to be a performer. So that's what I went straight into. And from the age of about 20, I was in the West End, prancing about on the West End stage, worked my way up through understudying, covering the leads, and eventually became leading lady and in, you know, Andrew Lloyd Webber, new musicals and original casts. And so I had a really amazing, around about 15 years where the West End was my everything. And then, you know, unexpected turns as well, got into screen. And my first big screen job was House of Gucci in a Ridley Scott movie in the pandemic, which I did not expect. I'm playing Jared Leto's wife. So the 1999 me was very, very excited, where my so-called life fan. So, yeah, that's been most of my journey. And I've come from a family of actors, performers, creatives. And that's always been what's lit me up. And I suppose where the seed of coaching really started, again, like I said, unbeknownst to me, was about 12, 13 years ago. I was going through a real tricky stage in my acting career and essentially kept getting really bad stage fright. So I was self-sabotaging left, right, and center. You know, as soon as there was some big opportunity to go in front of some big name or, you know, a really influential director, I would just crumble. I couldn't sing. I couldn't do it. And it was like there was this internal tug of war between the me that knew what I was capable of, knew what my skills were, and the bit of me that was kind of had this show off shame, I call it. And I was like, who am I to do this? And I think there was a fear that if I went for it and really was uninhibited in front of people and then I crumbled or then I wasn't good enough, what did that mean about me? Because I had this perfectionism, right? My worth was all tied up in it. So that was the kind of tug of war that was going on. And I suppose the culmination of that was when I essentially had a panic attack in the middle of a 3-minute solo on the West End stage at the Palladium. And it was horrific. And I remember every second of it. And it was bad enough for me. That was that kind of line in the sand moment in my acting career where I finally acknowledged that it didn't matter how much talent I thought I had deep down, I wasn't going to get where I wanted to go unless I sorted my head out and tried to work out what was going on and how I was holding myself back. And so that essentially, long story short, led me into a whole period of diving into the world of mindsets, the world of even energetics, the world of performance psychology. And I actually did some coaching courses just for myself back then. And I trained with in performance psychology with a woman called Alma Thomas at the time, and how to perform under pressure. So she actually worked with a lot of athletes. And it essentially within a few months of doing that work, and this is after years of struggling, and I'd got all those understudying jobs and ensemble jobs just through kind of grit really and willpower and you know some skill, but I was holding myself back with the mental stuff. And so 3 months in, I'd say, from doing that deeper work, that's when I got my first leading lady role, and that showed me, I mean, it was all the evidence I needed. So then fast forward to COVID and theatres closed overnight. I'd just taken a year out with my second son. I was the breadwinner at the time, being in the West End. Money was running low. So I was like, right, need to get back into work. 3 days back in, the theatres closed, first lockdown. And that was when I had to think quickly and go, right, if I'm not an actor, what am I going to do? And it was really obvious to me. It was always that thing of when people said, if you weren't an actor, what would you do? And it's like, I'd coach, because everything's transformed so much through this work. I'm so passionate about it. And as soon as I went into the online space, it became quite quickly clear that visibility and kind of everything I'd been dealing with back then in my acting career was the main block I could see everywhere. People were investing in strategies, investing in online courses, investing in the magic formula, and they weren't moving anywhere because they were terrified of showing up and being the face of their brand. And so that's where it all kicked off, really.
Wow. It makes so much sense. And there's so much to talk about here, but like, I want to get to the really important point first. Jared Leto's wife, right? Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Like you had me right there. I was like, because like you, I grew up on a diet of 90s stuff and my so-called life.
Yeah.
More recently, I don't know if you've seen, I think it's on, it's on Apple TV, but he's in We Crashed. Have you seen that? You haven't? I thought that was absolutely brilliant.
I've seen the trailer for it and it looks amazing. So I need to watch, yeah.
There's a lot in there that really makes me think about a lot of the woo-woo side of our industry and how it can go quite awry in the wrong hands.
when it's fueled
by power rather than just a lack of ego, but ego instead. Yes. Yeah. If anyone's listening who hasn't seen We Crashed Yet with Jared Leto, really, really good.
I'm writing it down now. I'm definitely going
to,
yeah.
But also moving on to the real meat here, which of course is this piece about visibility. And I love how you called it show off shame. Mm. I haven't heard it called that before. And, you know, in my Antipodean friends and colleagues talk about tall poppy syndrome, this idea that if you stand out, it's something that's arrogant, that you should feel ashamed about. Is that something that you personally felt? Is that something that you see frequently with when it comes to people doing their marketing and building online business? Is it the shame that's stopping them?
Yeah, I mean, I see it all the time. And it's definitely been part of my story. I think I'm sure this is an issue for men as well, but, and I'm biased because I'm a woman and that's the only experience I have, but I see this a lot, especially with women. This kind of, we've been grow up, you know, I think so many of us grew up with people saying, stop being a show off. No one likes the clever clogs. Maybe just like make yourself a little bit smaller. You don't want to threaten anyone. And it's this sense of our, a priority for so many of us growing up is, how can we be as least threatening to others? How can we make sure we don't make anyone else feel uncomfortable? And I think a lot of it, us get used to molding ourselves into the most convenient shape, even if it's like squeezed up against the corner with no room. And when we do that, we can't help anyone. So I see this as a real problem. And I think one of the things that people get mistaken about in the online coaching world is they think they're selling themselves. And this causes so many issues mentally. Because as much as people do buy from people, and so I'm kind of being a bit of a hypocrite here because I talk about that all the time, as much as your energy and your personality and how people relate to you and resonate with you is a massive part of your gold as a business owner, we're not selling ourselves. We're not putting ourselves out there for judgment as a personality. You know, we're selling a service that can solve someone's problem. And I think it's really important that people can start making that distinction. But certainly, you know, I think when it comes to visibility and essentially stepping into a spotlight and being the spokesperson for your brand and the face of your brand, you know, I think that essentially we're putting ourselves often in an alpha position. So, you know, we're saying during this masterclass, I'm the alpha. We're not saying we're better than anyone else, but we're saying I'm holding space. I'm going to dictate how this goes and you can be here and listen to me. And I'm leading this space right now. And anytime you show up in your business, essentially within the context of that moment, you're showing up as the alpha. And we are so still driven by our primal brain. Like our primal, like our mind has not had enough time to catch up with the speed at which our culture and society has been evolving. So we're still being governed by this evolutionary psychology that essentially says, okay, shit, if you're put, can I swear? Sorry.
Yeah, of course.
Good, good. It's essentially saying, if I put myself out here as the alpha of this group, I better be good. Because if people decide I'm not good enough as an alpha, or I don't belong, I'm going to be ostracized, left, you know, ostracized from the tribe and left to be eaten, which is why so often we're going to go host a masterclass or even just press go live. And on that kind of nervous system level, we really think it's life or death, which of course is crazy, but our system feels it like that. So even just starting to become aware of that and what's going on, and that it's not actually based in any reality, it can be a useful place to start.
Yeah, and that's so true. I mean, it resonates deeply with me, this idea that as women particularly, we're kind of taught from a very young age to play small and to be liked. And yeah, of course, if you put your head above the parapet and you stand out, and, you know, my world as a messaging specialist, I'm teaching my clients to have strong opinions and be thought leaders, which of course is the beginning point of that visibility moment. And yet we're kind of indoctrinated to not give our opinions, or to only give opinions that we believe will be universally agreed with, to not actually create any opportunity for disagreement or debate. And even though, you know, most of us are well educated and have had opportunities to overcome this, it's so instilled. And I felt it with myself that even putting an opinion across gives me a tight throat, you know, like throat chakra. And, you know, I've done a lot of work in energetics to overcome that, work that I now share with my clients. And yet it never goes away entirely. I will never say, oh, every time I go live, every time I'm visible, I don't bat an eyelid. That's not true. I have to psych myself up in some respects. And it does get easier the more you do it.
Yeah.
But as soon as it gets easier, then you then push a new boundary, right? Yeah. You then go, oh, well, this time I want to be on a stage live, or I've been invited into a bigger forum. I've got hundreds of people that are showing up on this Zoom or whatever it might be. Yeah. So there's always going to be the new frontier of courageousness and visibility that we've got to rise to kind of show up and play big, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think the more success, that next level of success you're going towards is always going to be one, outside of your comfort zone, and two, it's seldom going to be convenient. So like you say, we're stepping outside the comfort zone. Eventually that becomes comfortable because there's this kind of confidence competence cycle, right? Or so often we think, you know, I've got to wait until I'm confident and then I'll do the thing. Right. But as Rich Litvin says, which is one of my favorite quotes, confidence is a result and not a requirement. We've got to do it scared first. And we're going to be crap at most things we do the first time we do them. And like, that's the truth of it. We're not going to be. So when we can feel that potential that we have within us, and it can be very hard for those of us with a fixed mindset rather than a growth mindset. And I would put myself in that camp, and I'm still on the journey of moving myself over, where we don't want to do it if we're not going to be good, or we're not going to be our best. We're not going to be touching that pinnacle of what we feel is possible within us. And so we go, well, I'll do some more mindset work and I'll wait until. And the thing is that even though mindset work is such a big part of what I do with people, it's not separate from the action and the strategy. It's action is a really important piece of mindset work. In fact, it's like the essential final piece of the puzzle, because it's, if we stay in this place of once I've sorted my mindset and once I feel confident, then I'll do the thing, we're never going to take that final step where essentially we're showing our mind this evidence of, oh, hang on, my story is I never finish anything, or my story is I never speak up in front of people or share my message because, and that belief can't live anymore with the evidence that you just did it. So it's that final piece of exploding it. But absolutely, we've got to be daring to divide, you know, and I mean, this is such a cliche thing that everyone's heard, but it is, you know, we're never going to be everyone's cup of tea. We're going to be some people's shot of tequila. And I think, again, when we're business owners, we've got to be willing to stand out. And it is in our nature to want to blend in and to want to be liked and to want to belong. And rather than making ourselves wrong about that, like you said, I'm the same. I get nervous for every podcast interview. I get nervous for every time I go on stage, any audition, whether it's in acting or in business. I'm a visibility coach. I help people with this. And yet we teach what we need to learn. I'm still on the journey myself. And it isn't about perfection and getting rid of fear. It's about acknowledging that fear is not usually a reason to turn around. Unless you are, I think the only two fears we're born with is the fear of falling and the fear of loud noises. Everything else we've learned. So, you know, often fear is a cover to our deepest desire, right? The thing we're avoiding is where the most gold is. And so when we can see that fear is natural and actually start reframing that into excitement and realize that we can really utilize that adrenaline in our body to give us the edge in those moments of pressure, then we become unstoppable. Because when you don't have, rather than, it's not that when you don't have that fear, it's like when that fear doesn't hold you back, but actually bolsters you, then you can do anything.
Yeah, I feel that energy so much. And it's an interesting thing. My world, I dive into energetics quite a lot. We talk about alignment. And it's really easy sometimes when you feel afraid that it's a misalignment. It's a message that you shouldn't be doing it. And I've had to really dive deep and understand what real alignment is, and that it's actually what you're most destined for. It's your full potential. And that oftentimes means doing things messy, doing things before you're ready, in the service and path of your truth, of your alignment, not in the moment giving up, choosing the easy path, because that won't necessarily get you to the place that you are supposed to be doing, the work that you're meant to do, creating the impact that you're here to create. Yes. And I'm thinking about, you know, what you said, Flo, about taking actions and doing the thing. And it strikes me that, you know, in our industry, everyone who listens into Goals with Soul, majority are entrepreneurs, coaches. And I know you work with female coaches and entrepreneurs and consultants who need to increase their visibility. But here's where I'm curious. What are the key things that they're worried about not doing? How is the visibility piece not showing up for them? Because I'll tell you what I think of straight off, and I'm curious whether this is the case for most of your clients, most people you chat to, is about going live. Is that the key, or is it a whole bunch of stuff as well?
Going live is a massive one. Going live is a massive one. And I think when it comes to something like going live, so often that is perfectionism showing, right? And what we do is we confuse perfectionism. We trick ourselves into saying, hey, I've just got really high standards and I want everything I do to be really good quality. And there is a big difference between having high standards for yourself, which I absolutely admire. And I think, yes, of course, you know, hopefully we all want to be putting our best work out there of a high standard, and perfectionism, which is a standard you can never, ever attain to. And it's really just fear of failure tied up in a pretty bow, you know, and we kind of congratulate ourselves for being a perfectionist. You know, you're in a job interview, what's your worst quality? Well, perfectionist, you know, there's a kind of like a badge of honor of, well, I can't help it. I just need to be everything to be perfect. And really it's fear of failure. It's fear of falling flat on our face, fear of ridicule, fear of, often it's that imposter syndrome, fear of being shown up, because we can't re-record if we fluster ourselves. We can't. So I definitely think that all of that becomes magnified when you're live, because there's no hiding when you're live. There's no re-recording. And what I would love for people to realize more is that more and more and more in the online space, people want real. They are cheering for you. People, you know, most people, unless their job is to be a troll, and we know trolls are trolls, and they'll just, you know, we can't, that's a rite of passage, you know, congratulate yourself when you start getting more troll responses. But essentially, people are looking for the gems in what you're doing. When people come across your live and they stop and they listen, they're there selfishly just to see if there's something you have to say, one little gem they could take away from what you're doing. We have that confirmation bias where what we're seeking is the thing we notice, right? They're seeking some piece of value that can be of use to them. So that's what they're going to see. If we are seeking what went wrong and where we forgot what we wanted to say, or where we went off, or where we overshared, you know, and now we're like, oh my gosh, why did I do that? That's what we see. That's of no interest to them. But it's just like, they're not interested. So if anything, if someone does notice, often people admire that. People don't want the highlight reel anymore. You know, I've literally heard of someone falling off their swivel chair when they were, you know, that thing you do in science class when you're young and you're like on the two back legs. And I've had a client who literally has that story of like going on the two back legs because they're kind of trying to be cool and look casual. They literally did a fall back. And it's so often when things go wrong, it's people often look for how you respond to it and how you recover. And if you can laugh it off, because so much of sales and community building is about connection, human to human connection. And that's actually something we have more chance to do when we're at the beginning of our business as well. So anyway, I'm going off on one now, but essentially, yes, going live magnifies all of that tenfold. But that's also why it's such a great practice to just keep ripping off that Band-Aid as well.
And now I'm sensing the opportunity to get some real-time advice. So again, to explain, can I tell you an issue that I have? Because I'd love your point of view, because I'm sure I'm not the only one either. Mm-hmm. I love an audience. When I say I love an audience, I find that I really rise to the occasion when I'm speaking, whether that's to one person or to a room full or a Zoom room full of many people. And when people ask me questions on the spot, I always intuit a brilliant response, even if I say so myself. But I mean, it's like, you know, I know the answer, and it feels like the energy is so high. But take the human to human away and now just give me a video camera and say, right, could you just record some short form videos or whatever? And I'll be at it all day. And I don't mean I've recorded a lot of content. I mean, I'm at the one all day because I don't like it. And I do it again. And I forgot what I wanted to say. And I do it again. And I do it again. And actually, it's easier for me to do something in front of an audience, because at least if I allot an hour to do it, it's done in an hour, and it's not something that's going to remain, you know, on my to-do list because it wasn't good enough and it needs more editing or whatever.
Yeah.
What is that about, and what would you advise?
Yeah. So essentially, when you've got, and different people work in different ways. So some people will say the opposite to that and say they find it easier the other way around. One thing is that success leaves clues. And so it sounds to me like you're really good at tapping into flow state, because often when you're there and that there is that extra bit of adrenaline that probably is there when you are in front of people, even if you find yourself working better that way, there may be a little bit more adrenaline still. You are forced to kind of tap into that flow state where you are just riding the wave energetically. You're being prompted, you're focusing more on connection and faces and resonance, and the words are just flowing. And so sometimes it's about acknowledging, like, what works for me, what do I do well, and how can I recreate that to some extent. So what happens is, when we've got an unended amount of time in front of us and we could take 3 hours to record and a 20 minute video, is our brain likes to get in the way and say things that we, when we're in flow state, we wouldn't let it get away with. We don't have room. We can't let it come in. And I don't know if you've ever had a time where you have been in front of an audience and maybe for a second you do let that thought come in and you get out of flow state and suddenly you kind of don't know what you're saying anymore and you might falter and then you get back on it. So we don't have such a strong filter for saying, I cannot have you here right now. Like, I have this human in front of me needing this when we're recording. So really it's about, how can you recreate that atmosphere as much as possible for yourself? Can you, and this can be, you have to be disciplined, but literally giving yourself either, for example, I mean, I've recorded, because I'm similar to you, I've recorded things before where, you know, I will have a certain number of prompts, or I will even have myself going live to a certain Facebook group where I know people well, and I'm recording myself at the same time. So literally utilizing what works for you, acknowledging it and asking yourself, how can I recreate this? The other thing, and I don't know whether you do this or not, but I see a lot of people writing themselves too much of a script. And I see this really holding people back from getting in, from really tapping into their gold. Because when we write ourselves a script, as tempting as it is to do, especially like if we've been doing lots of messaging work, or we kind of feel like, this is exactly the thing I want to say and I don't want to say it any other way, and what if I forget? There is so much room for failure, because we might lose our way, or maybe the teleprompt we're using will stop scrolling, or essentially we're not trusting our own wisdom. We're not trusting our own expertise. And so one thing I'd say as well is, just like you would when you're in front of people in real life, what anchor points do you need to spark off the memory, to spark off the story, to spark off that thing you want to share, and nothing more. Trust yourself enough to fill in all the gaps. And I mean, all of them. You know that whole story, and you might say it differently this time to the way you said it last time, and maybe you preferred the way you said it last time. It's fine. It's going to come out how it's meant to, but you'll be amazed. And, you know, I'm talking to the converted. I mean, anyone who's listening who relates to this, you will be amazed when you see how much gold you come out with when you don't script yourself. So that's another, I mean, there's so many things I could say, but that's
no, they're really helpful. I mean, I must admit, I did give up scripting a long time ago, simply because it's so time consuming. It's like, just write three bullet points and talk. But yeah. I have to say, you know, I'm coming up, well, by the time this airs, I may have just turned 49, and my memory is not what it used to be. And I think that's one of the things when it comes to being visible that really makes me pause. She's like, am I going to remember all the things that I want to say? And I know I have so much to share. And like you said, about bullet pointed out, or having those key points is so helpful. And something that I haven't utilized very much, but I have to say, I love this trend, which is, it wasn't that long ago where the best performers would be those that could go right through, you know, in one take. They would just talk to camera. And then, of course, in the world of Reels and TikTok, we're now seeing that the human brain finds that quite dull. And in fact, if you break up the visual we get re-engaged. So people will like film themselves just saying a sentence and then the screen breaks and they might be slightly closer to the camera or slightly further away or indeed just in place. But now they're continuing, but you see the constant breaks. And this, of course, is good because people, for some reason, are more attracted to this style of video.
Yeah.
But it's brilliant for the performer because you can then reset yourself, right?
Do it.
You go, like, what is it that I want to say on the next point? And you're pausing the video and then recording onwards, right?
Yeah, totally. And I think, you know, people's attention span has just lessened so much, right? And when it's that short form content like Reels, generally people are just like on a dopamine fix, scroll, 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 scroll. And that's where it's like, we need to be quick. We need to be sharp. But also, you know, on a strategic level, that's why it's so valuable as well to not forget the long form content like podcasts, like guesting, like doing a weekly live where you then send the replay to your email list. Where those people who are, you know, have come into your world and already are warm, they're interested, they want to take the time, you know, they really want to hear what you've got to say about that topic, will listen. And when it comes to those people who are there and ready to listen, what's interesting is that communication wise, if you can practice when you have a bit of a brain fart or you're not quite sure what you're going to say next, rather than filling the space and doing the so anyways and all of that, just be quiet. Because what that does, and you'll see this in great TED Talks, they will say a sentence and then they will hold a space and they might take four steps to the side of the stage and it's just silence. And then they'll ask them another question. And what it does is it makes people wait and listen. Whereas if you're filling it with ums and ahs, so when it comes to the longer form content, which really has its place as well, I'd really advise that people to just really practice when you feel tempted to fill the space and go, what if people go, like, that's going to make people go more than if you are brave enough to just sit with the silence, have a think about what you want to say next, and then say it, because it really instills this sense of magnetism and leadership and people and confidence that you don't need to. You're here, you're saying something, and if people want to listen, they will. And it can really draw people in. So when it comes to longer form content, that's something to consider. But certainly for that shorter form content, when generally people are scrolling, yeah, it's so nice being able to do that. I mean, I love doing that on a reel as much as I love going live as well. You can just, really snap it together for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I love what you've just said about the pause and the silence. Although I'm not a big and ara, I am somebody that seems to need to fill any silence with chatter. And I think that for many women as well, comes from a place of insecurity. If I just keep talking one point after the next, then I feel like I'm adding value rather than being able to settle into that gap, that pause. And I know, you know, as a coach now, oftentimes coaching clients, and a client might ask a question, you'll answer a question, and then there'll be pause. And being able to hold the pause and not feel the need to now add more, give the audience, or in this case the mentee, an opportunity to absorb and respond rather than just be someone that's just constantly spewing more, even if it's of great value. I think that sometimes as an authority you have to be able to take that moment and allow people to have their own thoughts, catch up, express themselves, step into the space. And so thank you for talking about that. Right. I want to know something else, if I may, about visibility. Mm. So you're a deep specialist focusing on visibility. And, you know, in our world, both of us work within the realms of marketing. There are so many aspects that, of course, us online coaches, consultants, we've got to have all of these things. And so many people fall at the point of visibility. So what is it in your work and in your experience that you find being that specialist in visibility are the key things that people really have to make sure that they're mastering to be able to really promote themselves or their businesses in order to get clients, get revenue, make an impact, all the things that, of course, we you know, ambitious and intuitive healers, coaches, consultants, light workers, entrepreneurs, we all want to achieve.
Yeah, totally. Well, the first thing is, I think, is how you see visibility. And the way I see visibility is as like a megaphone or a microphone. It's an amplification system. And it's absolutely essential, but it's not a strategy on its own. So one thing I'd say is that the main things that need to go in the front end of that amplification system are your energy and a really powerful and intentional message. And if you have this amazing megaphone or amplification system or microphone there, and it's like super high quality, but there's nothing of value or quality going in the front end, you might reach more people, but they're not going to buy. And they're not going to be excited and keep following along. So I think the first thing is just to realize what visibility is. And at the end of the day, you know, use the word alignment. Visibility, there are a ton of visibility strategies, like with any kind of strategy in business, and they all work for someone. And the thing is, as we've seen, all these marketers out there are going, this is the only way, everything else is dead. And when we listen to that and we are pulled out of our center and we follow that, we end up often getting shiny object syndrome and scratching the surface of every different type of content strategy. Or I'm going to try YouTube and now maybe I'll start a podcast or maybe I'll do this. And then we wonder why it isn't working. And I think the first thing I want to say before going into kind of more minute kind of strategies is, really, I so encourage anyone listening, especially if you're in the first few years of your business and you feel maybe you're not getting traction from strategy, from visibility, you're doing all the things, you're ticking all the boxes. Ask yourself, are you really honoring and listening to your own intuition, your own inner leadership? And are you allowing yourself to follow one thing, a nail and scale, one visibility strategy that feels really exciting to you, that aligns with your unique strengths, the areas where you naturally shine? Because if we're not, we're kind of expending a lot of energy pushing against resistance, pushing against misalignment, because we've been told we should or we're supposed to. So I see all sorts of people, for example, forcing themselves to dance on TikTok or do the pointing reels, and it is so not them. People can feel it's not them. They resent it. It's never going to be sustainable. So I think that's the first thing, is allow yourself to make things simple, right? To choose one thing and let that be how you're. So I know someone who actually loves doing lives. They hate doing short form content. And so I was like, well, how would it feel if you gave yourself permission to grow your following almost entirely from just doing daily lives, and that is your grid? Because, you know, if you look at someone like Mel Robbins' Instagram account, for example, and I think most people love her, don't they? I don't know. I've got a total girl crush on Mel Robbins. Essentially, her entire grid is her, almost her entire grid is her just talking in her car to her phone, no background music, no pointing. And she just makes these reels where she's talking and she shares a thought and that's it. And it's like she gets known for that style. So I think that's one thing. And allowing yourself to not have to recreate the wheel as well. So when it comes to content, I see a lot of people getting themselves really, really exhausted week to week because they tell themselves, well, I can't say that because I said that 4 days ago. I've got to think of something new to say. And every time they show up, they need to think of something new to say. So they're sitting there racking their brains. They've been told they should post something every day. So they're like, well, I'll just think of something random to say. And it's all this kind of misaligned, it doesn't quite all make sense within the same brand or their offerings, and it's exhausting them and it's confusing their audience. So the other thing I'd say is, again, simplicity. What do you want to get known for? What makes you different? What do you really, really strongly and firmly believe? What is that unique stance you have on things? And essentially, you get to build as big a business as you want, talking about the same 2 to 3 things that you are known for in different ways on different days. So that's a massive one, I'd say. Remind me of your question again, because I'm going off on one.
No, you're making the exact points that are thrilling me, because
Okay, what's it?
aligned marketing, 100%, that's something I
Yeah.
deeply, deeply believe in about. Find something that's just right for you and
Yes.
then master it, enjoy it, leverage it. And, I spent 20 years working for leading advertising agencies in London. And when I worked with those clients, we would expect one TV ad to run for 6 months or a year. We would look at reaching a minimum frequency of seven, make sure people have seen it a minimum of seven times. And yet, here as personal brands, we go to all this energy and effort to create one thing, and then we put it out once and we feel like, oh, we can't repeat that because it's gone. And 124 people apparently viewed it on Instagram or whatever it looks like.
it again.
And it's like having the confidence to be known for something and to allow that repetition to sink in. And like you said, all the greats, and Mel Robbins among them, will be repeating the same points over and over in slightly different ways, in different days. I love how you put that, which is phenomenal. And Flo, sadly, it's becoming to the end of this chat, which I hope we can extend this another day. But I would love it if you would be kind enough to share some inspired action for anyone that wants to step into being the visibility queen in their own business, or even just start to stand up and stand out just a little bit more. What could we do today, tomorrow, to make a difference?
Okay, so if I was going to pick one little action step, I would say I would love to invite anyone listening to think about one thing that differentiates them from others in their niche. And a way you can think about that is there anything in your industry, in your niche, that you see a lot and you don't necessarily agree with? It doesn't quite sit right with you. You actually see it a bit differently. Or another thing that can help you find tap into a bit of that USP of yours is actually looking back at your story. What was there a catalyst moment for of when you went from that A that your client's with when they start working with you over to the B? Like, what was that? Was there a realization or a moment where your thinking changed, or you had a realization about something that was really influential to how you work? Is it the way you work and your process? So have a think about what is something that makes you different from other people in your niche, and share it, whether it's on a story, whether it's, and ideally with your face and your voice. So whether that's pre-recorded on a story or going live, I would love it for you to rock up and say, here's something that is different about me, or here's something you might not know about me, and just come out of the closet a little bit about your unique magic sauce. Because what happens is we are so often shamed about that little quirky, sparky bit of us that makes us different. We're growing up. We're probably sharing in a really beautiful, open-hearted way as a kid. And in that very moment of open-hearted silliness, we're shut down. And at some point we go, oh, that bit of me is wrong. I'll hide it away. And it's that bit of you that, if you were brave enough to put it at the front of your brand, would steer you towards your own version of ultimate success. So ask yourself, what is something I'm a little bit scared to share about what makes me unique or different, and share it?
That is a challenge. It sounds so
Yes.
simple, but I know that for many people going away and really diving into that is taking a really big step. So
Yes.
thank you for sharing that. And if people want to know a little bit more about you and your work, where's the best place to find you, Flo?
Yeah. So probably Instagram, because my website is shite at the moment and needs an upgrade. So just go to
Say it
Instagram.
like it is.
Yeah, I'm just going to say it like it is, guys. you're welcome to go to my website. You'll find it on Instagram anyway. So I'm at Instagram on Florence underscore Andrews underscore coaching. And you'll find the link in my bio that will send you off to all sorts of freebies. I've got my ultimate freebie, sorry, my ultimate visibility bundle in there, emergency live stream kit. I've got a free training in there. So I recommend you to come say hi, come over, hang out with me on Instagram, which is my main online home, and check out the links and see which one works for you. And I would love it if you DM me and said hi and tell me what your main takeaway was from this interview as well.
Oh, thanks, Flo. And actually, as part of my research, because I always research deeply all my guests, I went over to a website and I did click and download your, what did you call it? The ultimate emergency live bundle.
Emergency live stream kit.
The emergency live stream kit. Genius. Because honestly, I was like, I need the emergency live stream kit. Yes. So grab that, go over to Flo on Instagram and get that into your inbox today as well. Flo, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, you are so welcome. It has been a total honor. And thank you for having me.
And if you've enjoyed this episode, whether it's your first time here with us on Goals with Soul or whether you're a regular listener, please subscribe and leave a 5-star review over on Apple Podcasts. Reviews have a phenomenal impact to help others find podcasts that they most enjoy and get the best value from. So if you're loving this, please do share it so others can find it too. And so, have an inspired action week. Take care. Bye now.